the How to Be a Minimalist podcast, where it's all about finding your kind of minimalism. Feel free to come and hang out with me on Instagram at How to Be a Minimalist, or you can also email me at howtobeaminimalist@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the show details to find links to the articles I talk about, my YouTube channel, and books that I've written. And now it's time for the show. Episode 33, Minimalist Kitchen Tips. Good morning, minimalist friends. It's good to be with you today. I am actually podcasting from a campground that is just a little bit outside of Twin Falls, Idaho. It is beautiful here. There are just these green, grassy, sprawling fields, and the camp spots are far away from each other, so that's pretty nice. Sometimes you feel like you just are looking out your window at your neighbor, and it's just weird and uncomfortable. Happy belated Father's Day to you all. Yesterday, my husband found a great little zoo for us to go to. He actually surprised us. He told us that we were going to go on a little river walk, but he ended up planning out this campground and going to the zoo. We just had a really sweet day. We did get him a camping chair for Father's Day because his camping chair, kind of funnily enough, was given away to a guy that helped us with our generator when we were getting some things hooked up. He was really sweet, and my husband kind of knew that that camping chair wasn't really going to work because it was one of those ones that had like the leg support on it. It was just really big and clunky. So we got him that. But other than the camping chair, my kids made him some cards. I made him the breakfast he wanted, and we hung out at the zoo. It was just a really simple, sweet day, and it was a great way to celebrate a holiday without going totally crazy. It was sweet to see how my husband kind of dictated what he wanted for, you know, his day, and also the way my kids just knew how to kind of love on and enjoy their daddy. It worked out great. Happy Father's Day to you dads out there. You definitely helped to make this world go round. For a couple of items of business, I have Patreon episode number 8, which is an exclusive episode. It is How Minimalism Has Relieved Stress in My Life. That is live now. It is the second of the 2 bonus episodes in June, and I've got July's 2 bonus episodes prepped. You can also get these bonus episodes, which there are 2 every month. They are full length and they are completely different from what I record here on the public podcast. But if you head on over to my Patreon details page, which is in the details of this podcast episode, you will find that $3 and up per month will get you these 2 bonus episodes. You will also find some other perks, like I just put up a peach crisp recipe that I created, and that's actually for the dollar and up tiers. So you can get that if you just want to throw a dollar into the tip jar sort of a situation. You'll get some recipes and the occasional short story and things like that. This money most certainly helps to support this podcast. I really didn't realize how many costs there were in running a podcast. To my patrons, thank you so much. And to those of you that are considering becoming a patron, thank you so much. It really, really supports the show and all the different things that I'm doing and the work and effort that I put into it. So thank you so much. I also have a new recipe video up. I spent a lot of time trying to find a good cheese alternative. Being plant-based, I don't eat dairy, and I just found that none of them tasted like cheese. Also, nutritional yeast, I don't like the flavor and it doesn't taste like cheese to me. It's really weird. I know some people love it. And so finding all these recipes that called for nutritional yeast to make a cheesy sauce or cheese or whatever, it just never worked out for me. I finally discovered that culturing cashews was a fantastic alternative, and I actually have a cashew yogurt recipe, which is also in the details, but I've used this recipe to create all kinds of cheese sauces. These cheese sauces have just changed our life in the kitchen because it's made it so much easier to be dairy-free. The culturing is what I've discovered is really important about the flavor of sour cream and yogurt and cheese, and that's what's kind of missing in a lot of the recipes that I found. So getting this cheesy sauce recipe taken care of has been just really delicious. We put it over broccoli. We dip tortilla chips in it. That's probably my son's favorite way. He loves to eat it like as a nacho cheese sauce. If you leave the jalapenos out of it, then you can turn it into a mac and cheese. This cheesy fry sauce, it's super versatile. probably the way we eat it most is we air fry potatoes and we dip the cheese, we dip them in the cheese sauce. And so that's why I called it a fry sauce, but it's really like almost like a Que Bueno cheese sauce, just not as spicy, or you can make it spicy to your liking. Anyway, I'll leave that recipe in the details and you can check it out. For my personal update, one of my 2020 goals was to read 10 Spanish chapter books, and I've read one and I started my second one, so I'm on it. I do find that a lot of these things I have a difficult time with being consistent with because of not having a set aside time. I was doing great when I would just wake up in the morning and read one chapter, but I find that my mornings are so full of my author and podcaster stuff that it's kind of hard to fit even more stuff in there. We've wrapped up our homeschooling year though, and so I am thinking that I will probably have more time to do some things like this, and I also need to just make more efforts. So I'm hoping that I will be able to make more consistent efforts in this area. It's something that I just want and need to do. I've also been doing a lot of writing and researching in fictional areas, which I haven't been writing fiction in a while, so it feels so good to get back to that. That is exclusively what I used to write. It's just nice to be back to doing that. And I also have been making consistent efforts with working out. It just makes me feel so good to work out. I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm just keeping it low key. I don't set a timer, and it feels really good just to move my body and to make sure that we're doing some hikes and things like that. I'm so grateful for minimalism. It's made so much more time in my life so that I'm able to do these things. And that really is something that I have to be mindful about, because I know sometimes I just get caught up in doing different things without considering whether it's something that's actually adding value to our life or to my life. It's something I'm constantly evaluating. But when I do take the time to pay attention to our schedule and what's going on, I do find that I can fit so many things in that I would really like to be doing and that are adding meaning to our lives and to my life. I honestly can say that before I really was practicing minimalism, I did not have as much time, or if I made that time, I felt stressed about it. I felt like I didn't have the time for it or didn't deserve the time that I should be, you know, cleaning my house more or doing this or doing that. It's been such a blessing in my life, and I hope that you are using your minimalist practices to help you to do the things that you really want to be doing, or following your passion and or just taking care of yourself or whatever it is that you would like to get out of minimalism. For my something interesting today, I've got lauranoel.com's article entitled "What a Minimalist Kitchen Really Looks Like." I love her emphasis of making your minimalist kitchen your own. She really talks about that a lot and about finding what appliances suit you, what things work well for you, and how to kind of make sure that you're managing, keeping those things that are important in focus. She says, "It's important to remember that minimalism isn't about having no stuff. Instead, it's about having only the items that improve our lives and less of the excess that causes stress. Please remember that minimalism looks different for everyone because it's about keeping and highlighting the things that are important to you." She then talks about how she says she's not a cook or a chef, so she's chosen to keep her tools to a minimum. She says that if you are a cook or a chef, it's okay to keep your extra fancier tools, whatever. And I just really like the way she goes through making that differentiation, because sometimes we don't. If cooking is your passion, you're naturally going to have more tools than someone that really loves to sew. It's just the way it's going to work. And it's okay to have things that allow us to follow our passions. The problem is when we get into areas where we have excess of things that we do not use. And that's where those things cause us stress, take up space, disturb the aesthetics of the room, and things like that. In this article, she also has some really nice details on how she organizes her kitchen. So I highly recommend that you take a look at that article. The reason why I wanted to talk to you about a minimalist kitchen is because I've been thinking about my kitchen a lot lately, and also how I can make it more functional. So these were some things that I have applied and that have made my kitchen work. My first tip would be that having minimal kitchen gadgets and dishes is one of the first things that you can do. Now, this sounds really obvious, I know, being on a minimalist podcast, but sometimes people I don't think realize how much they could let go of. I remember before I became a minimalist, I always felt like my kitchen space was very, very small. I had many dishes. I had many gadgets. I had a plate for this, and I had a dish that I used for that. And only this bowl could be used for this one thing. And after I began to practice minimalism, I realized, wow, no, you really only need two bowls, a large one and a small one, and you're good to go. I happen to have three bowls, but they all, I really probably could get rid of the medium-sized one. I don't need it. They stack nicely, so I keep it. And also sometimes I need it for serving, so I keep it around. But I have three cooking bowls, and that's it. I used to have four sets of three nesting bowls or four nesting bowls, and I liked them. And that's great. You can have, if nesting bowls is your thing, that's okay. You can have your nesting bowls. But I realized I really didn't need all of those. And I also realized that so many things would get tucked in the back of other things and I wouldn't use them. So what I began to do was designing my storage in a way where everything was just single layered. So I didn't have anything behind anything else. It took me a long time to get rid of enough stuff that I could do this. But once I did it, I used all of my things so much more often because I could actually see what I had. Another area that I really got rid of things was the kitchen appliance area. I realized that I didn't need much, and having so many different things was just stressful. I now use what I have, and I have very few appliances, and I only have the appliances that will fit into our RV kitchen. It's really not a lot at all, especially compared to what I used to have. I'm always evaluating what we have and what I can let go of, and there are always a couple things that I'm like, maybe I'll get rid of that. I don't really think I need it. And I'm kind of keeping an eye on whether I use it or not. Having that single row storage, though, it works so much better. So even if you think you don't really want to get rid of anything, if you put everything in one layer instead of having things tucked behind other stuff, you'll probably find that you use your things a lot more. I know I did. Another benefit of practicing minimalism in the kitchen is that it tends to stay clean a lot longer. One of the biggest reasons for that is that you just have less stuff. I've actually changed the way that I cook and clean up the kitchen based on minimalism and living in an RV. Biggest reason for this is that we have a single basin kitchen sink, and I just don't want a bunch of dishes piled up all the time. Practicing minimalism has made it so that basically if I need a bowl for two different things, I just mix up the first thing and wash it out and then mix up the second thing. I'm still, yes, washing the same amount of dishes, but I have less dishes out. Even if I pulled all three of my mixing bowls out, though, it still would not be a really big deal, and it would still be less to clean up. I own two frying pans. I own one pot. I own one griddle, and then I own a 3-quart instant pot that I make all of my bigger soups in. And oh my goodness, I love that instant pot. I use it all the time. No, this is not sponsored by Instant Pot. I'm not that fancy yet, but I love that instant pot, and it fits in our RV cabinet. It's perfect. We were recently at our in-laws, and my mother-in-law has a beautiful kitchen. It's just very well stocked. She has any type of pot you would need, any type of pan you would need. She has fancy dishes. She has her china that's really readily available to be used. She has cute little glasses and all kinds of different things. She also has any appliance that you could think of pretty much. And she just has, yes, well-stocked kitchen is a very good way to put that. Well, a part of me is like, oh, I want to have cute little cups with flamingos on them or different things like that. I just realize how overwhelming it is to have that many things. Now, my mother-in-law, she really does use all of her things. She rotates through dishes. She uses all of her appliances. She uses her cutting boards and different things like that. When the kitchen is done being used, though, there are so many dishes. And yes, there are a bunch of people there, so of course there will naturally be more plates and forks and things like that. But I try to do the dishes as often as I can there to be helpful. But seriously, all the cutting boards are dirty. All of the pots are dirty. Everything is dirty because she uses all of them, which is awesome. Definitely seems like it works for her, but it's a big mess afterward. And so I always am like, okay, this is why I only have a few things. I don't have the strength to clean all of this up every night. I just couldn't do it. And I also find like I don't need a food processor. My Vitamix doubles as that. And I use my Vitamix every day to make my smoothie, plus my cashew milk and cheeses and all the different things that I make. I use the Vitamix at least every day when we are hooked into electricity. And when we're not, I still have my husband pull out the generator sometimes so that I can use it because it's just so valuable to me. For things that don't need to be finely chopped, though, I just pull out my chef's knife. I don't have a knife block. I just have a chef's knife. I have a small serrated knife and I have a paring knife and that's it. Like, you just really don't need that much. When you learn to do without, you don't need that much. And I definitely find that it's just so much cleaner. Not only because the spaces are open and more readily available for whatever, but it's just there's less to actually physically clean up when you're done cooking a meal. If you have one set of measuring cups and you just keep on washing them between uses, yes, you're going to be doing all of those dishes, but you don't have to have this piled up sink. You're kind of doing the dishes as you're going. And I remember that. I remember being really overwhelmed by having all of the dishes, and I found that I wouldn't do them because they were so packed into the sink. I would, you know, get the dishwasher full and run that during the night, and then in the morning I would still have a sink full of dishes, and I'm just much happier with what I've got, even though sometimes it's slightly inconvenient and maybe I could use two pots instead of one. Right now, though, it totally works and I'm actually ready to get rid of one of those frying pans. So it's kind of a funny thing. I went from having like a 10-piece set to four things, and I'm actually a lot more content and I use them all the time. Another tip I've got for keeping your kitchen as minimalistic as possible is to keep the surfaces as clear as possible. I know sometimes this is really tricky to do. I noticed that my RV kitchen was gathering a lot of clutter beneath the window. There's a little window over my kitchen sink. And I would just put things there, things that needed to be put away, or maybe if I'd gotten some extra groceries, I would put something there until I figured out where its home would be. And sometimes that would be a whole day. And I noticed that this was a recurring theme. I also love plants. They just make me happy and I love to look at them when I'm doing the dishes and things like that. So I decided that I was going to go ahead and utilize that space and put plants beneath my kitchen window. So I've got a line of pots right beneath my kitchen window and I no longer put stuff there. It really bothers me when it's there because those four pots are supposed to be there. So I don't put stuff there for very long at all. It has actually helped me to have the surfaces have a purpose. Now, if we lived in a sticks and bricks home, I would actually opt to have nothing on my countertops. Depending on the kitchen, I know that it's hard to put everything away, but I think that I would, and I think I would be happier that way. In my RV kitchen, the thing was that things were getting tucked away. And now maybe if I had a sticks and bricks, I would still opt to have some plants on the countertops because, like I said, I love them and that's where my little herb garden is. But you know, everyone has a different kitchen style and everyone has different tastes. And so you most certainly need to make your kitchen the way that you want it and that you can utilize the best. What I would say is whether you go for completely clear surfaces or not, having minimal things on your kitchen countertops will help you to be less stressed when you go into the kitchen, I think anyway. Whenever I would walk into the kitchen and see stuff on my surfaces, it was kind of like having a to-do list. I also felt like there's a lot of clutter. It wasn't really a very peaceful place to be. So putting away appliances that you can, clearing off everything from the countertops, except for maybe things that you really love being on there, or even trying totally cleared off surfaces for a while, those will all lend to a minimalist aesthetic, but also they will probably help you to be less stressed when you go into the kitchen. And allow you to have your surfaces open so that they are ready to be used when you're ready to cook. My last minimalist kitchen tip would be to have a minimalist menu. Now, I think I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but basically it's been so wonderful going plant-based mostly together. My husband does not eat completely meat or dairy-free. and neither do my kids. I'm the only one in the family that is completely meat and dairy free, but it is so nice to be mostly on the same page. And as a whole, our family consumes a lot less than we used to. This has allowed me to be able to create a menu that is very similar each week and yet very flexible. That kind of sounds contradictory, but I'm going to tell you how it works. Basically, I always know that potatoes, rice, beans, or pasta will be at our base of our dinnertime meals. I also have just a few options for breakfast, and lunches are usually leftovers or one of a few options as well. Knowing what these bases will be and what our few basic meals are allows me to be able to just shop super easily and keep my shopping list always updated. When I run out of potatoes, I know that I need to buy more. It's not like, I wonder if I'm going to need potatoes this week. No, I know that I will need potatoes this week. So when I'm running low, I put it on the list and I grab some potatoes the next time I go to the store. Having similar bases allows you to get really creative with what you put on top. So if I know that pasta is going to be something that we eat on Wednesdays or sometime in the middle of the week, then I can make a pasta salad. I can make pasta with a red sauce and some veggies on the side. I know that I can make a dairy-free mac and cheese. There are so many different options that you can do with pasta. Having a lot of different meals that we make can be very stressful. It can take up a lot of time to plan different meals, and it also can create situations where we have like decision paralysis. It also can make it a little bit more difficult to go shopping because maybe you decide you want to make this one meal, but you don't have this one ingredient, and so you have to go run out to the store or make something else. I basically rotate through 10 different meals that are very versatile, and those are the things that I make pretty much every week or every other week. What I do to make them different is add different types of vegetables, although I know the broccoli is a big one in our family. Our family really likes to eat a lot of broccoli. I also know what fruits we generally need to eat, and I also know, you know, my husband and I usually have a salad for lunch every day, and so I know what we need to have on hand for that. So carrot, celery, cucumber, things like that. We have a menu whiteboard. Now, I know some people might think that's not very minimalist, but it's stuck to my refrigerator now, and we use it all the time. If you are like me and you can't stand the question, what's for dinner? It drives me crazy. So it has been a lifesaver for my sanity and also for the organizational aspects of our family. And it's also nice for my kids and my husband to know what's for dinner. So on the menu, I've got the days of the week written out, and I just quickly jot down what we're going to have. I've also told my children that the menu is subject to change. So if they are really thinking that something is going to be on the menu for a night that night, and I change it up, you know, I put that disclaimer out there because there have been fits. All of the mom issues are coming out right now. Sorry about that. Anyway, that's what I've kind of got for most of the chart, but at the bottom, I write down, like, I've got like 10 or 15 meals written down that I just pick and choose from, and that's what I throw onto the menu. They kind of change with the season because we have, you know, different vegetables that are in season, or a lot of times in the summertime, we want colder foods, and in the wintertime, we'll want warmer foods, more soups and stews and things like that. So those are kind of different. But basically, having an organizational system, as well as not putting all the pressure on myself to go and find 5 different Pinterest meals that will work for this week. No, no, no. That is too stressful. It's too time consuming for me. And I also am just, I'm not really interested in that. If it's your thing to find Pinterest meals, I totally admire you, because I just end up pinning a whole bunch of stuff and then not making any of it. So for me, this works. And it also has given me the opportunity to focus on fruits and vegetables instead of wondering what is going to be at the base. If I know what my family needs to be getting more of, it just allows me to cook better food for my family. I have noticed that my family eat actually a lot more variety this way because I know what that base is going to be. But it also takes the pressure off of me, and it also allows me to be a lot more creative. For instance, one of the recipes for this past week was rice and veggies. It ended up being rice and veggies with this cheese sauce, and I threw some beans in there, sauteed with onions and broccoli. And it was just a great meal. Everyone was happy. I think I had some bread that my kids ate on the side. It worked out great. If I'd put all that pressure on myself to write down every single thing that was supposed to be on the menu, and this way I was able to use up what I had on hand without the pressure of going and getting extra ingredients or things like that. My minimalist challenge for you would be to go and grab 5 things from your kitchen and just go tuck them away somewhere and see how you do without them for a couple of weeks. You might find that you really miss some of those things. You might find that you don't even miss them at all, and you might be ready to donate or give them away or sell them or whatever. I know having a more simple kitchen has made it so much easier for us to practice minimalism. When we first moved into the RV, I tried to fit a lot in, and I found that stuff was always falling out at me, and I wondered why we had things, or I was looking for things that I couldn't find, and it was just very frustrating. Having a few things that I use all the time has been awesome. It just makes my life so much easier. It saves time in so many different ways. It saves time when I'm creating my shopping list. It saves time when I'm trying to feed my family. It saves time when I'm trying to plan meals for my family. And it saves time when I'm doing the dishes and putting them away and all that sort of thing. I hope that these tips are helpful to you, and that, you know, if you haven't tried any of them out, you'll give them a test run, and I hope that you try out the minimalist challenge. I hope it goes well for you. As always, thank you so much for being here and listening, and remember, it's all about the experiences, not the stuff. I hope you enjoyed the show. With so many listening options, I'm glad you joined me today. If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a review, sharing with others, or becoming a patron. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month. For $3 a month, you will have access to 2 bonus exclusive episodes. Thanks for being here.